B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think Rob was really interested in coming back about a month ago. Shortly after Tom Brady went to Tampa, Rob and I had a conversation that this is a situation that would be appealing to him. Obviously, this was a deal that New England had to feel good about. Tampa had to feel good about this. This wasn't just about Rob. All the parties involved had to be in agreement. Rob was a very classy guy in the way he handled this. Rob could have come out of retirement and become reinstated and put the Patriots in a tough situation cap-wise. But he decided not to do that. He decided to be patient and really allow this to work out. He loves New England. He loves the Patriots organization, Coach Belichick, the Krafts, his teammates that are still there. He had an amazing run in New England. It was just time for him to continue his career with Tom Brady in Florida, with Tampa. It was something cool and exciting and challenging for him. He's well-rested and looking forward to playing with Tom again.
So there's Drew Rosenhaus on the mechanics of the trade. Very classy, Maz, he says. Very classy. I know what he's referring to. Of course, Rosenhaus is overstating it, as he does. But if Gronkowski just said, nope, I'm coming back, that's his right, and his $10 million immediately goes on the Patriots' books. They only have $1 million in space, so they would have had to... Well, they could have done it, you know how I feel about this, but still would have, you know, created a little bit of an issue for them. And so Gronkowski apparently working with the team, not reinstating himself until the trade's done, so they never have to restructure a contract to get him onto the books. That's what I think Rosenhaus was talking about, and that was Gronkowski's leverage. So let's get to this part of the story because we haven't hit on it yet. Are you disappointed in the return that all you got was a fourth-round pick?
No, I'm not. No. Again, but I think I'm one of the few people in this thing that is, and I say few. I'm not excluding you guys. I think that when I hear sort of the national commentary on it, and I hear fans' commentary on it, I think people were delusional about what they thought they were going to get for Rob Gronkowski. The idea of a second round or a high second or a first is insane. You were not going to get that for a guy playing his position who's had the injuries and taken the beating he has taken, has deteriorated. I think we can agree on that. And that doesn't mean he sucks, but he's not the player he was and he missed a year. You weren't going to get a great return there.
Yeah, a year out of the game, the concussions, the back injuries, his age. The fourth rounder's pretty damn good. I thought that was actually a good return.
Yeah, Gronkowski did have leverage. You know, he did have leverage. He was not going to come out of retirement to play for anybody else. So it's not like the Patriots could play the field. They couldn't play one offer, you know, off the other. They couldn't go and try and get a better offer from Oakland or whoever. He wasn't going to go there. So they had no way to market the pick. He could have just come out of retirement before the trade and had them, you know, and screw up their payroll a little bit. And, you know, so they had to negotiate with him on that. And so he did have some leverage. And, you know, Jeff Howe wrote something interesting in The Athletic where he said, and I want to get to the exact line because I think it really did hit home, and it sort of ties into the Gronkowski, the Garoppolo thing. He says, maybe the Pats could have held out for a better draft pick, which I think is true, right? If the Pats had just said, nope, we're not trading you to Tampa for a fourth. Go ahead, reinstate yourself. Yep, we'll restructure Tooney. We'll cut this guy. We'll restructure that contract. We'll find the $10 million, which they could have done. Now you're on our roster, and you're not going anywhere, pal, until Tampa meets our price. They could have done that and maybe gotten a better draft pick. But Howe writes, that's not really how Belichick does business. The Buccaneers were the only realistic bidder for a soon-to-be 31-year-old who's coming out of retirement, and they probably wanted this thing done before the draft starts Thursday. It is true. On these trades, going back to Garoppolo to San Francisco, Belichick does not necessarily get in his bunker and drive the hardest bargain. He picks a team that he wants to send a player to. Maybe he has a relationship with that GM or that front office. Maybe it's something, some consideration involving the player, like he wants to go there, like Garoppolo wanted to go to San Francisco. And Bill does not sit out for the highest bid. He didn't do it with Chandler Jones. He didn't do it with Jimmy Garoppolo. And he didn't take the Gronkowski thing to the wall. And so it's sort of odd to think that someone who is so cutthroat in Belichick and is, you know, maximizes value. When it comes to these trades, it's true. It's not really how he does business, driving the hardest bargain. And
well, to me, there's a consistency there with how he drafts. I just think that it's because Bill looks at it and says, at the end of the day, the talent between the third round and the fourth round is not going to be that great. None of these guys are going to tap into it anyway because they all suck as coaches. So give me the guy in the fourth, and I'll get more out of him than you do in the third. He's got great confidence in his own ability as a coach.
But it's not just that. You know what? Maybe it's a little bit of the golden rule thing, which is like, you know what? When I try and trade for a player, I don't want to be jerked around. You know, what's a good deal? What's a decent value? I mean, let's just get it done and move on. Okay, and let's not sit here and go to the wall for months and months over whether it's the 130th pick or the 110th pick. Like, because it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Let's just do the deal.
Okay, but then in the same breath, so it was okay that he did what he did with Garoppolo?
No, no, no. I'm not saying it's a good thing, Maz. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm saying it's consistent. I'm saying when Howe writes this is how he does business, there's a ring of truth to that, but I don't think it's the best deal. No, 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 no. On Garoppolo, he screwed the pooch on that. On Gronkowski, I'm less upset by Maz because, for what you said, you're not going to get a second-round pick for Rob Gronkowski with 1 year left at 31 years old. You're not going to get a second. So if you had gone balls to the wall and just held out, could you have gotten a third? Maybe. So now we're talking the difference, though. They end up with the 129th pick. So instead of 129, they get 90 or whatever, 85. Like, is that, I don't know, is that worth going to the wall for?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is I just think Bill looks at that as negligible. And, you know, so he says, forget it. It's not really worth digging in over. And at the end of the day, in the case of Gronk, dead asset. He was worthless to them in a lot of ways. He wasn't going to play here. The fact that they got a fourth, actually, I think they did pretty decent. It's not a grand slam or anything like that, but I thought anything ahead of a fifth, like, was a win. And I'll take it, even if it's a slight win, I'll take the win.
Okay, and again, I know you're all lined up, I promise. I just want to do one more thing before we go to your calls. We do want to play this cut from Gronkowski today, this section of cuts where he's there's a little Q&A with Mike Giardi, who we know is going to ask the relevant questions. Can't promise relevant answers. I haven't heard it yet. But here's Gronkowski in his introductory Zoom press conference in Tampa Bay with Mike Giardi. Go.
Bit of a pointed question coming from the New England side of things and maybe the angle. It seemed like you, the last couple of years in particular, and even Tom the last few years when he was playing, it's hard to play for Bill and that maybe that wore on you. And I'm just curious how much that played into stepping away and now knowing that Tom's going somewhere else, sort of a rebirth and step back with Tom.
Coach says it all the time, man. He always says it, that it's not an easy place to play. And, I'm very thankful for the 9 years that I had with the New England Patriots. Hands down, I've learned so much under that organization. I've learned so much football from the best coach. Hands down, that will not change, the best coach in all of football, Coach Belichick. I've learned more football than I've ever had in my whole entire life under Coach Belichick and just learning so much under just the organization of Mr. Kraft, too. I mean, there's two guys that I look up to and will always look up to. I mean, they're the ones who drafted me and gave me my first opportunities ever in the NFL, and I'm very thankful for those opportunities. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's an easy organization to play for, and I've also never played for another organization. I haven't even been down to Tampa yet, so I'm not even sure what to expect. But I know that, you know, that the New England Patriots, hands down, I mean, it is not the easiest place to play, but it gets you right. It gets you mentally right. It gets you physically right. And what I've learned there is I'm definitely going to take it with me with my future and whatever I have present to this day. I'm definitely going to take what I've learned in the New England Patriots organization under the Coach Belichick, Mr. Kraft, and everyone there and apply it to my daily life big time.
Again, his answers feels like he's reading poorly, you know, it's just weird the way he talks. So that's how he handled that question. You say, Jimmy, you have one more with Mike Reese?
Yeah, there was a follow-up from the Giardi question by Mike Reese.
Go ahead.
If Tom did come back to the Patriots, do you think that this would be sort of the result, you coming back to the league?
You know, I would have definitely looked at the opportunity for sure, hands down. At that moment when he was going through that process, I remember the free agent process. I you know, I was interested to see where he was going to go. I mean, that's his decision to make. You know, I'm not a guy that's going to sit there and try to put pressure on him. But at that moment, you know, at that moment in time, I was still up in the air too. Like, I really didn't know if I was going to go or not. I really wasn't sure if I wanted to play. I had a little fire underneath me, but it would have definitely been an opportunity I would have looked at for sure. Because playing with Tom is special. I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And to build a connection with a quarterback, too, is something special. I mean, you've seen it many times with many other players. They can switch teams, and they might not have the same chemistry as they'd have with one of their other quarterbacks. So we have a great chemistry out there, and every time we get together, it's just like, you know, the old days. It doesn't matter if we take a month off or 6 months apart. We just go out there, and we're throwing the ball just like it's a normal practice. No matter what. So it just happened to be the right opportunity, I feel like, down in Tampa. Yes, Tom is definitely he was like the appetizer of the whole meal. You know, he got me hooked when he went down to Tampa. I saw what was down there, just the opportunity to go down there and play with that type of offense. I mean, they got some special wide receivers out there. They got other great tight ends. And let me tell you, I love working with tight ends too. So I'm definitely looking forward to that working with OJ and Cam. So that's definitely going to be a special opportunity. But okay. Just blessed to
enough. I got it. Jesus Christ.
Really?
In this situation to have this opportunity.
God, all right, I got it. Hands down. The operative phrase, hands down. He says he would have considered going to New England if Brady had re-signed here. Do you believe him?
Lie. No. It's a lie. Yeah. Dude, lie meter's going off. I'm sorry. Lie meter. Lie. That's a lie. It's a total lie. Go back to what Rosenhaus was saying, too. He decided about a month ago, shortly after Tom said he was going to go to Tampa Bay. Oh, what a coincidence. He wasn't going to play here. He had no interest in playing here. Zero. Zip. He was interested in going with Brady if Brady went somewhere else. That was it. He was done with Bill.
Yeah, the blah community quickly sunk their teeth into this one. See, he would have came back here if Brady was here. No, he never gave you anything definitive in that answer. He said he would have thought about it, which is a lie because he would say, yeah, no.
I can't take any more. Please, I got it. Yeah, appetizer is a whole meal.
It's a lie. Hands down, a lie.
The lack of eloquence. We don't know.
They got some special wide receivers out there. They got other great tight ends. And let me tell you, I love working with.
Yeah. Hands down, Tom is one. He was like the appetizer. He was like potato skins down there. I went down there and I saw some of the wide receivers. I like to work with tight ends. Can't wait to work with OJ and Cam. Like, oh, all right, we got it.
Wasn't sure if I wanted to play. I had a little fire underneath me, but it would have definitely been an opportunity I would have looked at for sure.
Hands down, yeah, hands down, Gronk. good God. All right, so we continue with your thoughts on this. I promise, again, I do see you all lined up. The Palace Q as it relates to
because playing with
to Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots when we come back and your calls.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mere cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They thought Rob Gronkowski, their tight end, was coming back. We saw practice on Friday, and he was not only active. This guy was an animal during practice.
You talk to all these players, you talk to Tom Brady, and he says he's the best player on the practice field. You know, he's out there, he's doing things, he's catching the football, he's physical. He's not just going through the motions in practice, and they're as befuddled as anybody that when they show up to the games on Sunday, Rob Gronkowski's not playing.
I'm good to go. I'll be playing. Super pumped, super excited, and just preparing for the game.
I mean, I'm glad that, Rob's optimistic about his situation. I mean, with all due respect to Rob, I'm glad, you know, he, I guess, feels the way he does.
I'm just week to week, and when I'm 100% feeling good, cleared by all the doctors, the team, that's when I'll be back.
Why the team decided to put out a statement last night about Rob in conjunction with
the team? Just trying to do everything we can to help you out. We did what we did.
Well, you think about 2 weeks ago, it was a Sunday night game in Denver. It looked like he'd be out for the rest of his career, the way he was writhing in agony.
Is Rob here?
All of our players are, they're doing other things.
I was just doing other things, as Coach said.
We also don't see Rob Gronkowski yet. At this point, Bill Belichick told me that's something that they're used to and they're just going to have to adjust.
Touchdown! Yeah! Rob Gronkowski!
In your
second
face!
Of the day!
In your face!
That was not planned or anything. And we got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations. That's what we got told, but I kind of want to talk about it. But I kind of don't because I'll get in trouble. So I don't know what to do. So it just happened on the spot. It wasn't planned. We'll just keep it there.
He didn't enjoy himself in 2017. This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it.
Rob, what's your status for the football season? Are you playing with the Patriots this year?
Status is doing really great. I can vroom, vroom really good.
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will face the Lions tonight. He easily could have been playing for them instead. The Patriots and Lions were deep into trade discussions last offseason that peaked in the week of the draft when the two sides nearly completed a blockbuster trade for the tight end. When Gronkowski discovered he could be traded to Detroit that week, threatened to retire, met with the Patriots, wouldn't return the Lions' calls. The Patriots and Gronk were able to set up a happily ever after because they gave him the contract he wanted. He could have been a Lion if he wanted. He'd rather stay in New England.
Yeah, it happened. Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
If Belichick was to be compared to something, what are you comparing Belichick to?
Oh, man. The Grinch.
History of the Gronkowski divorce with the Patriots, courtesy of Jimmy Stewart, going all the way back to the injury back and forth. We forget about all the injury crap. Troy Aikman saying he looks great in practice. Team expects him out there, and he's still not playing. I mean, that went on for years. Never mind the back and forth over Guerrero, the back and forth over training methods, back and forth over Gronkowski being able to be Gronkowski or not. And it all finally ended up with him going to Tampa yesterday. So to your phones here, as promised, Stephen Worcester waiting patiently. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. He goes, you know, it's not surprising that they would act this way. Both those people have never actually been anywhere besides New England. They know nothing about not winning. Their idea of a bad season was last year. We went to the playoffs. We had the Prima Donna Roadshow just left. We're good with it.
Well, so we're good with it. We'll see. You just lost two all-time great players. I mean, I'm good with it. And I do think they became a little bit of prima donnas. But I don't know if I'd be dancing in the streets. I don't know if I'd be celebrating like you, Steve. Dan and Quincy. Hi, Dan.
Now, before I get to this fraud, Gronkowski, who I had to listen to on my phone while I was waiting for to get on, Bill Belichick traded him to Tampa Bay. He didn't leave as a free agent. Am I right?
Okay, right. Yeah.
Okay, so if he had left as a free agent and took less money to go there to join Tom Brady, I could see all the pathological Belichick haters, a gleeful enjoyment if that happened. But Bill Belichick's decision was to trade him there. He made the decision to trade him to Tampa Bay, right? He didn't have to do that.
So I don't understand your point, Dan.
Because there's some sort of gleeful, pathological hatred. Like, look at Gronkowski. He screwed Belichick by going to Tampa Bay, right? But he went it by trade. He didn't go as a free agent.
Okay, but...
So it's not his fault. I mean, he did it. He accommodated this fraud.
Yes, he did.
He wouldn't play here.
Right, so, okay, he had a failing Hollywood wrestling broadcasting career. The guy sold a bill of goods that he was leaving football because of his long-term injury possibilities, that his body was finished. And he faked that. He faked it. The guy's a fraud. And all these people drooling, he's a fraud. You can't argue with that.
Okay.
You cannot sell me a bill of goods that you leave football for your health. And then let me ask you something. Did he have to announce that he was coming back to football before Belichick traded him?
At around the same time. Again, I have a hard time figuring out what your point is.
What don't you understand? understand, Felger. I hear all, like, the Murray people and the Gasper people saying that, you know, this is like an Amendola thing, the insurrection. This is not an insurrection. Belichick chose to trade him to Tampa Bay.
Dan, it's an insurrection. What are you talking about?
Oh, God, he misses the point again.
Gronkowski was done playing with them. I mean, if you want to defend your guy Belichick, I still think there's a defense there that Gronkowski changed, Brady changed, their priorities changed. And they became more concerned about their brands or things off the field or wanting an easier go of it. I think there's criticism there to be leveled at Brady and Gronkowski. I feel that way. But make no mistake, they're gone because they got sick of Belichick. That's a fact.
Danny's missing the point. The bottom line is Gronk wouldn't play for Bill, and he would play for someone else, assuming that Brady was there. That's it. End of story. Now, you know, Belichick's decision to trade him, to keep him would have been stupid. To keep him would have been spiteful. You're not helping your team by hanging on to Rob Gronkowski at that stage because he wasn't going to play for you anyway. All it was going to do was hurt the cause. So at that stage, you're just, you know, you're lancing off a wart at that stage.
Alan Everett, I'm begging you, hold it like a pizza.
Listen. Jim Murray, you're going to look like a genius, buddy. You're going to look like a genius in 2 years. Felger, can you give me 30 seconds to say what I'm going to say?
Go.
It's on a lot of time.
Go. Hold it like a pizza.
Listen, for you guys to give Belichick even half a pass on all this is absolutely insane. Insane. Let's get it straight right now. If everyone's listening, Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer because Coach Coattails treated him like and this is the greatest quarterback of all time, mind you, treated him like a second-class citizen. Tried to trade him 4 years ago, and what did Brady do since then? Two Super Bowls, a 12-4 season last season with no talent around them. So for you guys to sit there and say it was Brady and Gronkowski's attitudes is complete nonsense.
No, well, I'm saying, Al, that they left because of Belichick. Absolutely. They left because of Belichick. But do I blame Belichick for that or do I blame them for that? And I blame them for that. But I'm not... Anyone who thinks they're gone for any other reason other than the thing with Belichick is nuts. If it wasn't for Bill, they'd still be here. But do I look at Bill and blame him for that, or do I blame them for that? And I blame the players for that. I do. I do blame the players for that. Meanwhile, franchise quarterback could be coming your way next, folks. The next Patriots franchise quarterback who they draft tomorrow night may come your way next because the Felger and Maz Big Board will throw for its final selection of the month. The Felger Maz Big Board Odyssey, the April Big Board Odyssey, comes to a close next when Tony Maserati, with his dartboard, throws at the final round of quarterbacks. We saved the first page for last. He'll be throwing among the guys expected to go in the first round other than Joe Burrow, and this means if the Pats do dip their toes in the first round, it could be one of these guys, and you'll hear who it is next. In the big board, the final toss of the big board for quarterbacks coming your way after Murray's update, where, again, there's a lot of news out there, Red Sox punishment, Patriots trade rumors, NHL return rumors, all of it right here. Oh, and Gronkowski spoke today, so you hear some of that as well, and then we come back with the big board.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wouldn't want this for Tua, and I don't think Tua will be there. I think he'll be gone. And like I said, if I'm the Dolphins, I'm taking him at five if he's still there. But if he did slide, I would bet that Bill Belichick's phone starts burning up because they have the ammo to move. And could you just think of Tua just sitting up there and getting a good year under his belt as far as rehabbing is concerned and then pairing him with that offense and that program? Man, and you thought you just got away from Tom Brady. That would be something. I mean, it would almost be like cheating. It would be like stealing for the New England Patriots.
Lewis Riddick on ESPN saying if the Patriots get Tua, it'd be like cheating. I mean, stealing. Catch that? I think he caught himself. Yeah, it'd be like them cheating again. I mean, maybe like stealing. And it would. That's the way a lot of people think. All right, this is a big toss here. This is a biggest toss of the month. Because if the Patriots go quarterback high, this is going to be the guy. Because the board knows. Felger Mavs big board, 9 selections the last 8 years, gotten at least one guy every year, except for the 1 year they only drafted 4 players. The Felger Mavs big board and complete draft coverage on Felger Mavs is presented in part by the Peterson School, teaching the hardest working people in the trades. Visit petersonschool.com for their online learning opportunities. Mavs is throwing darts. For the final time, Mavs, tell us what you got set up out there.
Okay, so we are, again, we've grouped the first rounders together, so we are literally using this throw on a first round pick. There are only 3 other quarterbacks other than Joe Burrow who's going to go to Cincinnati. So Burrow is not on the board. I want to clarify that for everybody. No Joe Burrow on the board because the Patriots have no shot at him. So the last 3 quarterbacks that we could possibly hit here are the other 3 quarterbacks projected to go in the first round. Tua from Alabama, I'm not even going to try in the last name, Justin Herbert of Oregon, and Jordan Love, whom the Patriots have also been linked to in some drafts. I put Tua in the middle because, again, I don't want people to think I can target him that specifically. If I aim for Tua and I miss either side, I get one of those 2 guys.
Okay, so hold on. I just don't want you to jump the gun here. Can we get a shot and not to direct this from the chair, which I've been known to do, but
all the time.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Can we get okay? Thank you. We have the close up shot of the board because I want to see where the dart lands. I want all of us to see and to know the closest two. So if you're high and wide, if you hit Billy Lanny, it's going to be the guy on the left. If you miss the board to the right, it's going to be number 4,
Jordan
Herbert,
Love, it looks like.
Or whoever that is. Okay, I can't see it from here, but either way, we got a close up on the board. Maz, I think you are now able to go. You ready?
Yep, again, so you'll see 435,
yep.
Where that 435 is the area that I'm aiming for. The 3 quarterbacks are under there. And let me just tell you up front, because I don't think you can see it per se. This is a very difficult throw.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, this looks like a small surface area, Maz. I was going
to
say.
Just throw the dart.
But I have to go over an obstacle to get there because of lighting. So I'm just letting you know that,
okay.
that there's no way I could pinpoint any one guy. But here you go.
If you
here
hit somebody else on the board, does that count?
No, shush. Just go.
Here you go. Here is the throw for the first round quarterback. Here you go.
Oh, it didn't stick.
Throw another one. No, hold on. I'll go get it. Hold on.
It didn't stick.
It didn't stick. Throw another one.
Maz. And he takes his headset off, and now he's futzing around with the board.
If it doesn't stick, it doesn't count.
If it doesn't stick, you got to stick it in there.
I think if he'd hit somebody like Jake Fromm from Georgia, we should count that because the board knows.
Oh, you're right, Stu. I'm sorry to shush you. You're right about
that. Okay.
Don't you have more than one dart?
Good God, Maz.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, but it didn't stick.
No, that's why I'm throwing again.
You are throwing again.
Yes, hell yeah. Hold on.
All right. He only has 1 dart, Murray. He missed again. What the hell was that?
Come on.
He only has 1 dart because the other 2 are still stuck in the board.
Oh, that's right. I see.
Hold on.
What the hell was that?
It's complicated.
Oh, my God. This is fitting.
This is the board telling us something.
This is the board telling us something.
Okay, I'll hit the board this time.
Maz, if it... Right, go ahead.
Hi!
Holy crap.
Oh,
well, boy. as Murray, as Stu just said, who'd that hit, Maz?
Jake Fromm.
That hit Jake Fromm. That's Jake Fromm. The board knows. We don't get a first-round pick. We don't get a day-one selection.
Jake Fromm.
You were so high and wide. You missed it so badly, you had a whole other grouping of players.
That's correct.
Okay. Anyway, the board knows.
The board knows.
Jake Fromm, Georgia. 6'2", 220. Strengths. Fromm has everything you want from the neck up at the position.
Oh, he's smart.
He is smart. That's the next line. He's smart, confident, and a hard worker who teammates love to play for. The intelligence and confidence transfer to the field, where he reads defenses well pre-snap, makes smart decisions, and shows strong poise amid pressure. Fromm is a quick, accurate distributor underneath who can put touch on the ball and has a feel for timing and anticipation. I do like his write-up. I really do. He won't repeatedly avoid pressure, but he flashes pocket awareness and knows when to protect the ball. A seasoned veteran with 43 starts for an excellent SEC program, Fromm has handled a heavy load mentally in a pro-style offense that asks him to read the full field. Is it true? Is he under center? Is that a pro offense? It's not one of these read option, these crappy sideways nonsense college offenses?
It ain't like what you see in Baylor and Oregon. It's nothing like that.
Okay, weaknesses. Physical tools are the biggest knock on Fromm and the reason why many feel his ceiling is limited. He doesn't have the power to consistently drive deep downfield or make opposite hash throws. And as much as a flash of pressure can often ruin an opportunity for a big play, to his credit, he knows his limitations, but there are times when he plays a bit too risk adverse. All right, those are his weaknesses. Maz, why do you like this guy?
Charlie Checkdown. Look, because again, I think he's got the aptitude to play the position. And I think it was Todd McShay who said he's maybe the smartest quarterback he's talked to in the last couple of years. And to me, I hear that and I say, this guy's got Patriot written all over him. And as you were reading that description, he's good on the underneath throws. He's accurate with the short stuff. To me, that's the Patriots' game, is that short intermediate passing game. Bill knows that the other stuff is low percentage anyway. To me, this guy screams Patriot. He screams it.
Okay, so let me read a scout from Bob McGinn. Bob McGinn's scout, unnamed scout, says, the kid doesn't have 50% of the talent of someone like Jacob Eason, but I'd take a shot at him, said one scout. You get a good, solid kid who can just win games for you. His size and talent level are about as minimum as you can get. Wow. Size and talent are about as minimum as you can get. He's got some leadership. He's not going to be the mouthy effing backup who says, I should be starting, like some of those other guys. He played so well that both Justin Fields and Eason bolted for Ohio State and Washington, respectively. I think he's a better player than Andy Dalton was coming out, said another scout. He's a winning starter. People are going to talk themselves out of Jake because he's got average physical traits, but he is off the charts above the neck. He's getting hurt by this pandemic because he can't get in front of teams as much. Teams would fall in love with Jake if they could spend time with him. So there you go. Jake Fromm, Maz, put him on the board.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the board called to him. I was trying to target him earlier, and I swear to you, when this time I was trying to hit that lower group, and I missed high.
You missed so badly, you hit the guy the board wanted anyway. So, again, don't dismiss the board. Long commercial-free segment next with your calls and reaction, I promise.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I understand. I feel that love. But I want to be clear to my fans. I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down. And I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life. Like, the joy. I'm sorry right now, but I really was, and I was fighting through it, and I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through, and I knew I just have to fix myself.
What has changed emotionally with Gronk over the last couple months, Drew?
Well, I think the break was very good for Rob. Rob gave football everything he had. He fought through a lot of injuries. He's had about a dozen surgeries in his career. He's been an absolute warrior. He's fought through a lot of pain. He plays a very physical position. He gets hit hard all the time. He really needed a break, physically and mentally. He fought hard. The year they won the Super Bowl, he played injured pretty much the entire season. He was never truly himself. He's a team player. This time off really reinvigorated him physically. He tells me he feels fantastic, the best he's ever felt. His weight's back up to 260. He passed his physical with flying colors today. He's just really excited about playing football again. And being in Florida is exciting for him. Playing with Tom Brady, obviously, is huge. Rob has a residence in Florida. He's got family in Florida. And it'll be nice to be in the warm weather and play on natural grass. It's going to be a lot of fun for Rob to switch gears and be in the Tampa Bay environment.
Okay, again, quite a turnaround for a guy who's in tears from the emotional impact of football and head trauma and all of this. And so do you need a break from football, or do you need a break from Bill Belichick? I think we all agree it was a break from Bill Belichick. And maybe Brady the same. And that's, I don't know if that's debatable. The question is, does that reflect poorly on the players or reflect poorly on Bill? Robin Mansfield, been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Rob. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Not what I want to talk about, but Fromm actually would be a bad choice. I don't know if most people know he'd be like Justin Herbert and Justin Fields. I think that tells you a little bit about the kid. Here's what nice gets you, guys. I'm looking at Bruce Arians' record. 245 and 169, 59 win percentage coaching. His coaching tree is Bill Cowher as his mentor. The people he mentored is Freddie Kitchens. I mean, what does that tell you about the guy? What are the odds that when Brady and Gronkowski go down there, that this guy is just overwhelmed by the amount of guts and willingness that Brady has to want to win the game, and that Arians isn't used to that? He's not a guy that is that much of a detail-oriented. I just wonder what you guys thought, so that Brady goes down there, and it's just not what he expected, and those guys don't actually get along.
Or, he gets what he asked for, and, be careful what you ask for. In other words, he wants a lighter environment, an easier-going environment, more of a partnership, less doom, less, a less exacting culture, and then he gets there to a less exacting culture and realizes, oh, it's actually, when you don't have an exacting culture, it's hard to win at a high level. That's what I think, that he's going to get what he bargained for, Maz.
I mean, there's always a trade-off, right? It's like saying, oh, geez, I have a girlfriend, but I want one who's hotter. Well, then you get the hotter girlfriend, and what happens? You realize that there's a whole bunch of issues that come along with it. So, to me, there are certain personality traits that go hand in hand. And the comfortable, laissez-faire attitude that someone like Arians may have, well, that's all well and good, but those teams probably are going to make mistakes. Yeah. So there's going to be a trade-off there for Brady and Gronk.
Well, and you heard Rosenhaus there say, about Florida and the weather. I mean, in some respects, in a lot of respects, Brady and Gronkowski are looking for an easier path. It's really that sport is not conducive to the easier path. And those two, their success is not built on the easier path. So I want to see how that all works out, Jim.
All right. So he was also, under the tutelage of Cowher, who was mostly overrated, and he mentored boobs like Freddie Kitchens. But what does Ben Roethlisberger think about him? What does Peyton Manning think about him?
Oh, I think Arians is a good offensive coach.
He is.
I do too.
Yeah. So I think that part works for Tom. Like, they can talk passing game, they can talk offense, they can talk quarterback, they'll speak the same language, and like that piece to it, I think, is a good match. The win lose we booze kind of thing, I don't know. That's Gronkowski for sure. That ain't Brady. Dan and Cranston, go ahead, Dan.
Hey, what's up? I know Jim hates the guy, but Garoppolo's trade value, if they truly put him on the market, I think you're delusional in way you're assessing him. I'll do it real quick. Sam Bradford in 2016 as a backup at Philly went for a 1-4.
Dan,
Taysom Hill was the only Taysom Hill. Okay, was the only guy who got a first round tender this year. It would have been two first round picks for him. And Ryan Tannehill,
quarterbacks,
31 year old Ryan Tannehill got what, 4 years, $118 million, like up to $92 million guaranteed. You tell me Jimmy Garoppolo on the block at 3 years in low 20s on the books wouldn't get at least the first round pick, a high one. Come on.
Hey, Dan, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking Gronkowski. You meant
He meant Garoppolo.
No, I'm talking Garoppolo.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my fault. I mean, look, to me, if I'm the Miami Dolphins and I have three first round picks and that last one's 26 overall and that would have got me Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, Garoppolo's worth the 26th pick. If I'm, if I'm a top 10 team and I'm looking at, one of these rookies, I don't know, maybe Garoppolo's not a top 10 pick, but is he a... I think Garoppolo's worth a bottom of the first round kind of pick. He just went to the Super Bowl. Murray, what's sort of weird about your bluster is that ultimately you're kind of wrong about Garoppolo. He had a really good year, and he's a good young player.
How were the playoffs? How did it look after he threw that laughable interception to Minnesota in the divisional round? But coach no longer trusted him.
Well, but then why didn't he just go with Brady? The coach does trust him. They ultimately assessed it and said, we want to go forward with him over Tom Brady. I mean,
because these idiots thought that they were going to get a first rounder in return for him. And thankfully, the GMs watched the Super Bowl, and there's no shortage of idiot GMs thirsting for the next great quarterback. And they watched that Super Bowl, saw his performance in it in crunch time in the fourth quarter, and saw him pee away a 10-point lead and said, no, you know what? We're good. And by the way, you only gave up a second rounder for him. We're not going to give you the 26th pick or the 23rd pick or whatever the hell, you know, back end of the first round pick you think you can get for this guy. He ain't worth it.
Despite all your bluster, Murray, the irony of the whole thing is you've been wrong about Garoppolo. That's sort of, I'll just interject well, that here.
How have I been wrong about
it? Because he's a good player, and you said he sucks. He's a good player.
He sucked in the Super Bowl. He sucked in the playoffs. I was proven right. They got there because of the defense and the innovative offense.
The irony is, and I've let you carry on because it's entertaining, but you're ultimately wrong about the player. He's pretty good.
He'll never go back to the Super Bowl again. Ever.
Mass, you have thought?
Look, I just think that I felt all along that if San Francisco was going to move him, they were going to have to get a first-round pick. And I get the whole logic of, well, you know, they gave up a second to get him. That's all they're going to get back. I understand the logic, but I think it's often flawed. If you trade a fourth-round pick for a guy and he ends up being a star, that means you can only trade him for a fourth-round pick? And so, now I'm not telling you Garoppolo is a star, but what I'm telling you is that he is a capable, legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. And his stock has gone up since he's left. It hasn't gone down.
Right, exactly. But I don't know how they're stupid. I don't know if they did expect a first-round pick. I mean, to me, it feels like they didn't. You know, but I do think Garoppolo was available. And I just going back to this whole thing of Lynch saying they were considering him, the thing that he left out that I think was the missing piece is that the phones were open on Garoppolo for a time. And if they got a deal that made sense to them on Garoppolo, I think they would have gone with Brady. I would have done it if I were them. Because Murray, I think you're wrong about Garoppolo. I think he's pretty good. But I do agree with you when you say, I don't think he and Shanahan are going back. Because I think a loss like that and a finish like that sort of leaves a mark. And I think Garoppolo and Shanahan together are sort of porked. But I think Garoppolo can play, and I think he's pretty good. I think this year proved it.
If he could be truly salvaged and get to the point where you both think he could be, he needed to be back here with Belichick because it ain't gonna get any better with Shanahan and that team.
Yeah,
just quickly, the other problem with Garoppolo is the salary. So if you look at him and you say, well, he's an average quarterback in the league, and so let's call him 16th. Okay, even though the rating and the numbers are better than that. Well, you know, you can get yourself an average quarterback in the middle of the pack of the league for less money than the Niners are paying him right now. And so I think if you're a team that says, well, not only do we have to give up a pick, but then we have to pay him on top of it, we'll take our chances with going into the draft.
And most teams usually put more value in the unknown draft pick than the current NFL veteran. Like, that's not a Garoppolo thing. That's in every – like, most teams sort of feel that way. And, you know, maybe to a fault they feel that way. So, that's on the board. We continue with your thoughts on that. The Gronkowski trade, obviously the driver, but there's other news today. The Red Sox punishment came out. The NHL is closing in on an idea to return to play. Gronkowski spoke down in Tampa. You hear all these things. Oh, and some good Patriots trade rumors as well as it relates to the draft tomorrow night. So all that on the table. You'll get the update on all those items here in Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're back with reaction on all of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.